allowing us to return today for this time of worship. And we have a thematic system going so far this year, and I've been led in this way. We started off talking about living a year without fear. Amen. Which is not easy. That's a difficult thing in this world, isn't it? And we're talking about living toward the future in hope, where we start to look ahead instead of looking back. Amen. Because God is moving us forward. You notice the clock moves in one direction. Time is always going forward. Amen. And so we want to continue to live forward and look toward the future in hope. And then we talked a little bit last week about tools for walking fearlessly. God has some tools to equip you with so that you don't have to be in fear when you see things going on. And so we have another installment today I want to call Armored Against Fear. Amen. And I'm going to ask the deacons to come at this time and share the reading of the word. We have a passage from the Psalms, from the Psalter, number 27, the first five verses. And then also from 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6. Just a few verses. So we want to ask you to give your attention to the hearing of the word. Amen.
Psalm 27 and 1 we begin. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemy and my foe, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord, and now for the New Testament reading.
2 Corinthians 6:1-10. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give me no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in turmoils, in labors, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love, unfriend, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many, many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a powerful passage of the word. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to use for a subject, as you give your undivided attention to the word of the Lord, armored against fear. Armored against fear. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bless and praise you. We exalt your name. Father, we thank you because you have brought us to the sanctuary today. Lord God, that we might hear your word. You said in your word that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And so, Father, today we ask you to open our ears, Lord. Not the physical ears on our head, but the spiritual ears of our mind, Lord God, and of our heart, Lord, that it might be sown in good soil, Lord, that the word might go forth and produce fruit to the praise of your glory, even 100-fold, Lord God. Father, Father, we ask you to bless in the sanctuary that all minds would be focused on the word today, Lord God, that we might hear what you have to say, that we might be armored against fear. Help us today, Lord God, as we give you all the praise and the glory, and we thank you for your righteous word, and we ask this in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. 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 Go ahead and give God a hand praise. Woo. Amen. 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 We thank the Lord because we said that we had the theme this year of living a year without fear. Now, this is one of the most fearful years I have seen in my lifetime. Now, some of you are younger than me, most of you probably, and some of you are older than me, possibly a few of you. And so, therefore, you've been around a lot of years, and some of you. And the years that you've been around, sometimes some of the younger people, they may think this is normal because they haven't been around so long. And so what I love about God is that he gives us the word that we can trust in.
Oh, yes.
It's been around for a long time. I'm happy when I think about the fact that the word of God was finished in 100 A.D. It's actually about 95 was the last book that's in the scripture that we call the Bible, the word of God. So God said what he had to say a long time ago, and he sealed it with a curse. We heard a seal with a kiss. Well, the Bible is sealed with a curse. He said, do not tamper, do not add, subtract, or else I'll add the thing plagues that are in this book. If you subtract, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. So God said, I said what I said, and that's it. I'm done. I have no more to say. The profound thing, though, is that the word is still more relevant than the most modern and most up-to-date newspaper that you can open.
Oh, yes, it is.
And the people who will put the newspaper out have no idea, many of them, that God has already said that when this thing comes around like it is now, the stuff you're talking about now, stuff that's blowing your mind now, stuff that had hundreds of thousands of people in the streets protesting, all that kind of stuff, God wrote this down a long time ago. You know, and people of God have an inside advantage because we trust God.
Yes.
We believe the word. We know where the world is headed.
Yes.
You see? And so therefore, since you have a little insight, you don't have to be tossed to and fro, as Paul said to the Ephesians, and carried about by every wind of doctrine. No matter what people say, you have an anchor, the Bible says, of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And it enters into that within the veil. That's the last concealed thing. Jesus, in other words, came into the world. He proved that he was God because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. In the midst of time, that happened 2017 years roughly back. We go back about nearly 2,000 years ago, when at the first advent of Christ.
Yes.
This was the appearance of God who came to show you I have the solution to the problem of sin, and the penalty for sin is death. And so I came in the flesh in order to have them heap up all of that abuse, scandal, physical pain, all the shame, the disgrace of the cross. Have you ever thought about that? How humiliating is that? That God would show up in the flesh and then be crucified on a tree. Wow, and then, you know, people looked at that. Nobody understood that. Not nobody, the people who believed understood what it was about. And believers have trusted in Christ throughout the ages.
Yes. Amen.
And you know what? The absence of fear is one of the biggest features that the apostles displayed. They had been with Jesus when they crucified him. They didn't understand that. They went and ran and hid, everybody but John. John probably already had it fixed in his mind. I ain't going nowhere. And because he evidently he had some kind of faith that helped him stand around even at the cross. And so he stood there. Now, and maybe it was just compassion for Mary, the mother of Jesus. She stood there at the cross. I can't imagine how she felt. Can you imagine? Just think about it for a minute. How is this my son that I know the angel told me before I was with child that he would be called the Son of God? And I watched him go through his whole life, saw everything he did. I believe he's the Son of God. Why? Because nobody ever touched me.
Right.
And I was with child of the Holy Spirit. Right. And she saw that. But imagine the perplexing disposition in her mind as she stood at the cross and watched her baby boy, who she knew was conceived by the Holy Spirit, crucified on a tree. So maybe John just was broke down. Oh, I have compassion for her. I'm going to stand here. Whatever. Whatever happens, happens. I don't know what was in his mind. but he was there at the cross.
Amen.
And so there was a loss of fear, or either his compassion overruled the fear that may have been in his heart about maybe they might get us too. All the apostles ran. They didn't even know God wrote that in the Word.
Amen.
They're going to smite the shepherd and the flock will be scattered. See, and so it was all in the Word. And they didn't get fearless until after Jesus showed up, after he got out of the grave and shown himself a number of times to them. And then they became bold, and nothing would stop them. They went out preaching. And the Bible says they turned the world upside down. You know, and the religious people, the powers that be, the governments of Rome, all those people in that time had some very fearful stuff going on. They even got to where they would take Christians, dip them in pitch, which is like tar, and roll them and put them on standards, kind of like Jesus, and light them up and use them for torches.
Yeah.
And yet the church continued to proclaim the truth. There was a fearlessness there among those saints at that time who understood the gospel, that they had an armor because they believed what we've been talking about in this series. In the series we said, Jesus said, do not fear him who can destroy the body. And when he's done that, that's all he can do. He said, but fear him who can destroy body and soul and cast both into hell. See, that's who you should fear, the one who has the authority to judge you and condemn you and throw you in hell.
Amen.
Now, and if God was going to do that, he could do it to everyone because no one deserves salvation.
Amen.
But when he showed you that I will come into the world, I will suffer humiliation, I will suffer disgrace, I will suffer being lied on, spit on, hated, ridiculed, mocked, beaten, all those things they did to Jesus, and allow them to crucify me to show you who believe, this is how much I love you. I'll go through this for you. I'll take your debt. I'll take the penalty of death that you all deserve and put it on myself so that you can be saved. When you get that revelation in your spirit, then how do you know it worked? Because everybody else had died, guess where they're at? They're still in the grave. When he got up out the grave, baby, it's on. That's what it is. And he told the disciples, go into all the world and teach. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, Matthew 28 and 18. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things. In other words, teach them this book, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. All things that he said in his word, that's the duty of the church. And so you and I need to go back. We don't need to go forward into newfangled philosophy. We need to back up the train and go back into the original, that old time religion. Amen. Some of the elders used to say, give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. I don't need the newfangled stuff. But this is not new. I want to say that many of the Old Testament saints, as we have a witness here today, in the book of the Psalms, this is a Psalm of David. Now, you all know something about David. What the Bible says, David is a man after God's own heart. He was the righteous king of Israel. He wasn't righteous because of himself.
Right.
He was righteous because he trusted God and believed him.
That's it.
And he obeyed God and he honored what God said. He had opportunities when Saul, who was the king the people chose, was after him to pursue him to kill him. He had opportunity to wipe Saul out.
Yes, he did.
And somebody said, David, look over there. There he is. Get him right now. Run him through. And he said, you know what? That's God put him there.
Touch
not the Lord's anointed, neither do his prophets any harm.
Yes.
See? And so David knew, I don't have to fight this battle. God is going to put me where I belong when it's time for me to reign. So David would not even attack his enemies. So you know what? The church needs to be reminded of this today, that you don't have to worry about it. If you got an enemy or an adversary, God has called you, he has blessed you, he's given you the revelation of the gospel, that he gave his son for you. That's how much he loves you. And the gospel also reveals, this is how ugly sin is. This is how ugly and deformed human government is.
Yes.
To find a perfectly innocent one, in fact, the very creator of all things, guilty.
Yes.
We find you guilty. We crucify you because we find you guilty. That's how twisted human government is. So I want to let you know, the government at that time was the worst one there's ever been in the history of the world. So you think this one is bad? Back up the train. Take a look. You know what? Everybody survived the most evil government that there's ever been.
That's right.
The one that found God guilty and crucified him on a tree. So don't think this one is worse. It's not. I guarantee you. You know what? Somebody told me there's two rules. This is not biblical. I'm just going to slip this in right here. There's two rules in life. Number one is don't sweat the small stuff.
All right.
Number two is see rule number one. That's one way they put it. The second one I heard was number two is everything is small stuff. Except that which God said. Amen. So you don't need to sweat the small stuff. You know what? It may be that a lot of people, I looked at all the turmoil and the grief that's going on around the world. This kind of stuff has been happening for a long time. You know? But look what the psalmist said, David. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God is the strength of your life, of whom shall you be afraid? That's armor. He was armored with the fact that God has accepted me, so it doesn't make no difference what you think. It don't make no difference what you think. It don't make no difference what laws you pass, which laws you take away. None of that. That means nothing to me. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Does that make you big and bad because you can change a law or take one back or start another one that's against me? No, not at all. When the wicked, notice what David says, verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Better watch it when you mess with God, children. I'm going to ask you, what would you do if somebody messed with your child? And multiply that times infinity. See, you better watch it when you mess with God's people.
Yes.
I don't care who you are. You can be Goliath like David had to tangle with.
Yes.
Or whoever. It don't make no difference. You can be whoever you want to say. Name some of those folk up there who y'all don't like in Washington. It don't make no difference. He says here, though a host should encamp me against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Notice what he's going to be confident of. It doesn't make any difference. There's wars, rumors of wars. Didn't Jesus say you would be hearing wars and rumors of wars, but be not troubled, for the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. But he who lived endures to the end shall be saved. He says, you're going to go through all of this, wars, rumors of wars. These are the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24:10.
That's, right.
That's, the birth pangs before the baby is born, if you will. See, and the baby is the return of Christ, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So even if, he says, a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after. This is what we ought to be doing. Seek after that one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's the focal point of my life. I'm not looking for all this razzmatazz stuff they're talking about. You know what? You don't have to worry about it. You're covered if you trust God. David knew it, and he knew it right well. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. See that? He shall set me up on a rock. They might be trying to set you down. God is setting you up to be blessed. David understood that. And so this is what you and I need to understand, to be armored against fear. Fear can overcome your mind. It can get you doing stuff you shouldn't do. And it can get you off track.
Yes, it will.
But you need to remember who is your God.
Amen.
And the fact that there is only one God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I don't care what the devil is saying. The devil's got a lot of, his biggest enterprise is false religion. You might think, oh no, it's partying in clubs and all that. No, no, no. His biggest enterprise is false religion. Because Jesus said, there are, either you are with me or you are against me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many religions did Jesus say there are? Two. The right one and whatever else is the wrong one. Period.
That's right.
He said, he who is not with me is against me. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. So they may have 155,000 names for it. Jesus has one name for it. That's lost. Now the ones who are with me, if you believe me, you're saved.
Yes.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And I realize what I'm saying is not politically correct this morning. But you know what? There's only one that's got a heaven and a hell to put me in. And I trust what he said, and I hope you do too. This is how you can be armored against fear. You got to realize who's in charge. Who blessed you? Who bought you? Who is taking you and keeping you right now? Now, you know, normally when we talk about armor, and I'm going to say this because probably in some of your minds, in the book of Ephesians, you always hear Paul talking about put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, the tricks of the enemy. In order for you to stand, put on the whole armor of God. So I didn't use that for a text, and you might wonder why. If he's going to talk about armored against fear, why wouldn't he use Ephesians? Somebody might be thinking in their mind. Well, I want you to see why right here. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is telling us what's in his heart. Remember, he used to be against the church. He was against the gospel. He hated Jesus with a bloody passion, to say the least. And all those following him, you hypocrites, I got to get rid of you. I'm not just going to hate you. I'm going to get rid of you. I'm getting papers from the government. I'm coming down there to bust you up. If I have to kill you, you got to die. If I'm going to imprison you if you don't cut up too bad, and take you back and throw you in the slammer. That's what I'm going to do for you. I'm talking about the way, the church. You're going to get out of my way. That's the way he felt. See, and God confronted him, turned him around on the Damascus Road.
Yes, he did.
He became the writer of most of the New Testament.
Yeah.
And he writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. This is where I wanted you to see this. He says, we then as workers together with him. You ever think of yourself that way? That you are a worker together with God? He says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. He realizes now salvation is totally by grace. What does that mean? Undeserved kindness and favor. It's not anything we earn or deserve. God gives us grace.
Yes.
Grace means I'm letting you slide. To put it in modern terms. Grace means you're guilty, but I'm going to cut you some slack. That's what grace means, put it in some kind of modern terms. Grace means I ought to whoop you, but I'm not. You see? And so he's giving us grace. But don't receive that grace in vain. What happened when your mama let you slide? And usually she would tell you, go out there and cut me a switch. And bring it in here. And she let you slide. Did you go back doing that thing again? Did she just let you slide for? No. You said, oh, I got to leave that alone now. Because I ain't going to get no more grace after this. See? So that's what he's saying. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I heard thee, listen to this now, I heard you in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation, I succored you. That means I helped you, I assisted you. In other words, when you were at the point where you heard the gospel, you didn't believe it by yourself. You know how you believe the gospel? God helped you.
That's right.
He made your heart open to the gospel.
Yes, amen.
I can't think of how many times people shared the gospel with me and it went in one ear and out the other. It went off me like a water off of a duck's back. But one day somebody told me, and God helped me to hear it and to believe it. See, you can't believe unless the Holy Spirit gives it to you to believe.
Amen.
And so that's what Paul notices here. He says, because I heard thee. In other words, one day you prayed and I accepted your prayer. And in the day of salvation, I helped you to get saved. I gave you faith to believe when you heard the word. So behold, now is the acceptable time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. In other words, if you have not been saved, you can do it right now. God has the door open for you.
Yes.
giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. He said here. Now, and today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now here, this I want to just spend just a second here. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. What is offense? Some of you football people know what offense is. It's different than defense, isn't it? Defense is you attacking me. Offense is how I'm going to get through your stuff and get the ball down there where I want it to be. Right? Is that kind of a good summary?
That is.
So how are we going to get to the place we're supposed to be? He says here, giving no offense. When people attack with their stuff, we're on defense. But he says we don't want to offend anyone. So it's a different kind of character than what we see people doing in the world. They find stuff they don't like, they go rebel and buck up against it. Instead of calling on the Lord, walking by faith,
yes,
trusting in God. God says pray for the people who are in charge over you, and they wouldn't be there if I didn't put them there. So he has a purpose, even though you may not understand what it is. Oh God, why is it like this? Don't worry about that. It's bigger than your ability to understand. You know what you got to do? Run back to Romans 8:28. But we know that God works what? All things together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So no matter what you see going on underneath it, God is working it for your good. So give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed.
Yes.
But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers, which means servants of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, and imprisonments, in tumults, and labor, and watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love. Love unfeigned, that means limitless love.
Yes.
By the word of truth, I always speak God's word. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. God says the armor of righteousness is all around you. That's why I brought you here instead of Ephesians. Now notice this, by honor and dishonor, in other words, no matter how you treat me, by evil report or good report or good report. And as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, in other words, they may not know you, but God does, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed. See that? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, they know what they look at us as poor, yet making many rich. In other words, when you share the gospel, people become rich with true riches, not just with nickels and dimes. Yet he says, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now that's a very good summary of being armored against fear. When you can sit in the presence of the Lord and display godliness in every situation, you can see that you are armored on all sides. God is protecting you.
Yes, yes.
So as it was stated by Moses and many other saints of the Old Testament, God is our protector and covering from everything. He is the strong tower for all of who trust in him. Just as the psalmist says here, the Most High God is our light and our salvation. Who shall we fear? Nobody. What armors us from the negative things that occur in this life is possessing a correct understanding of the word of God, which gives faith to the ones who hear it and strength to everyone who believes what God has said and that applies it to themselves personally. You got to apply what you read. Don't just read and let it go in one ear and out the other. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Let it affect your life. Let it be a shield and a protection to you. The Apostle Paul learned to wear the armor and wrote to the Corinthians about how they should live based on what God has said and the fact that he has kept his word by sending his son to provide the only acceptable covering for all who believe in him and his victory over death and the grave. So what do you have to worry about? God has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he did it for you. He did it for you because he loves you.
Yes, man.
And so if you have not received him, the Bible says to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name.
Yes, Lord.
So we want to let you know today that God loves you, just like you are.
Oh, yes, he does.
You haven't done anything for which God is not willing to forgive you. He offers total forgiveness to whosoever will. And he gives us the privilege of sharing that good news as to everybody. That's the purpose of the church. People make churches for a lot of different things. God said, go into all the world and teach. The primary duty of the church is to teach. Now, you get that from God. Jesus himself said that.
Amen.
All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go ye and teach all the nations. In other words, make disciples. Everyone here who has trusted God is a disciple of God.
That's right.
A disciple is, just the translation, is a learner. It's not some holy office or something. It's a learner. The word mathetes in the Greek means learner. We are learners. We come to learn what? The word. Yes. Jesus said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The commands of God are in his word. So we teach the word. And so you need to be taught, every one of us. We're all still disciples.
Amen.
We're all still learning.
Yes.
Nobody has graduated. We don't graduate until God takes us up out of here.
Amen.
So we're going to be learning. And the description of the world is just the opposite. He says they're always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, and that's what you got now. That's all these wise people we have. Telling us about global warming and all kinds of stuff. Or an asteroid is on the destructive course toward the Earth. Oh, yeah, really? Oh, okay. And you know all about that. Oh, there's some more planets over here that we hadn't found. I'm going to name this one after me. Oh, really? Oh, okay. God said that he made the Earth and the universe the way it is so that men would fear him.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, when you keep looking and you find out, oh, I got a better telescope now. I can see 259 million light years out there. But there's some more after that. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Infinite.
It's infinite. You won't ever find the end of it. You know?
No.
But the Bible says God loves you and he made all things to give glory and praise to himself.
Oh, yes.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
That's right.
And the firmament shows his handiwork. In other words, you can look around and what you ought to do is praise God.
Yeah.
You shouldn't try to take credit for it until I understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
59 billion light years ago. No, you don't know about that. You know what? You'll be doing good if you hit 100. All these people telling us what happened millions of years. I said, come back to me when you're 110 and tell me about that. And you don't have that long. You need to get right now. God wants you to be right now. He wants you to say it right now. He wants you to believe the gospel today, right now. That's why that text says now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. He said, I'm helping you to understand that I love you right now. And if you come right now, I will save you. So if you want to be saved, we want to let you know this is our highest privilege is to offer you the good news that God loves you. He has forgiven you for all your sin if you believe the gospel that God raised his son from the dead. So if you're here today, let me ask everyone to stand. We like to make it as easy as possible. If you're here today and you have never personally accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, please do it right now. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name. We heard the good news, Lord, that you gave your son to be crucified on a cross, that you prophesied that you would do that long before he ever was born, and that he came into the world exactly as you promised. He lived a life of spotless perfection in your sight in order to give his life as a ransom for my sin. Everyone in the room, Lord God, knows that we have sinned, that we've come short of your glory.
Yes.
But Father, we heard the good news that you gave your son and allowed him to be mutilated, and that history still tells us that Jesus had come. Because it's 2017 years based on the time of his first coming. And so, Lord, today we believe that you allowed him to be crucified on the cross to display the ugliness of sin. That was the height of sin, as high as it could be.
Yes.
When men and human governments found your son guilty, mm-hmm. and crucified him on a tree, little did they know he was there because he loved them. Mm-hmm. And he was there to die, to shed the blood that they need to be saved.
Yes.
They laid him in a dusty, borrowed grave. And then he got up 3 days later with all power in his hand. showing that he had defeated every problem that man has, death, hell, and the grave.
Yes.
And he did that because of the great love wherewith he loved us.
Yes.
Father, today we believe the gospel that you gave your son for me. Each one of us is praying that in our hearts, Father. We thank you for Jesus.
Thank you.
And we thank you for salvation. In other words, we don't have to worry about what the world is doing. We don't have to worry about politics in the government. We don't have to worry about any police, militias, armies, diseases, any of that. Because you have blessed us.
Yes.
You have covered us with just an overwhelming love, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Lord.
Because you gave your son and showed that he could defeat even death. That's the worst sickness that anyone can have. And because you can't do anything to fix it. But he did. He got up out the grave with all power. And he is coming again to receive as many as believe him. You said, you so loved the world, you gave your only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Father, today we accept that everlasting life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us to all truth, and we'll give you all the praise. Armor us, O God, on the left hand and on the right, that we would live this life this year without fear, that we would be armored and give us the tools that we might walk fearlessly in this world. We ask this all in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Give God a big hand for you. Amen. We want to give you the opportunity to unite with us. If you do not have membership in a church, you may come at this time. Amen. We're accepting a member by letter, candidate for baptism, or with Christian experience. If you're here today and you would like to unite with the church, please come at this time. We give you the privilege right now. Amen. As the word says, now is the acceptable time, and today is the day of salvation. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. We hope that you got a good word today. Amen.